Our next guest is a longtime favorite of the Power Hour from Joyce way back, Dr. Abel. He's been on regularly, except lately, because there was a problem with the eye complex and the supply chain and whatever. I'm sure we'll get into that. But he's a world-renowned doctor, an expert in the eye. I mean, world-renowned. You want somebody to know something about the eye, this is the man. He's very fun to talk to. Enjoying catching up back with him. Dr. Abel, Dr. Robert Abel, welcome back to the Power Hour.
Terrific, Daniel. Thank you. And these are trying times for everybody. And I find that people either cope or they mope. And if they're moping, maybe we give them a little information that will give them a brighten their day and brighten their holiday season.
Well, obviously, you know, you being a world-renowned doctor, what is your take on, you know, maybe this new vaccine? We're hearing a lot of things. We just did an interview with Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. We talked about it. What is your perspective on this RNA vaccine that's supposedly coming out soon?
Well, first of all, viruses are either DNA or RNA. DNA is your genetic material. You need to make proteins to build your body and your enzymes. And the way the DNA sends out a message for the proteins is via RNA. Just think if you were looking at a Tyrannosaurus Rex track in the ground, what you would do to duplicate it is put a mold in there, and then you would get that opposite of that. And then that mold goes out, in this case the RNA, and presses on something else and creates what the DNA wanted to make for a protein. So the RNA is part of what makes the virus come alive, whether it comes from our own RNA or whether it comes from a particle being infectious. That's an interesting question we'll get to. But the idea of the RNA virus vaccine is when given to a person, it will then make the actual protein that are on the spikes of the virus, the inflammatory piece of the virus, and then your body will counteract it. So that is the concept. Fortunately, there are about five different vaccines in the running, all with a little different mechanism. So I figure if I'm the last after 10,000 other people, then we'll sort of know it's really good and safe, because it's certainly going to be widespread quickly. It'll be sent to the neediest, but also to emergency caregivers. So I'm going to know in my community how these people do. And, of course, the media will publish anything bad besides anything good. So it will be widespread quickly.
So you would be cautious about this just because the unknown. I certainly would, more than cautious. But you, as a professor, your opinion, would you kind of back off and let's wait and see where this goes?
Correct. Let me give you a part of a story. I've been to Africa a couple of times, so I've had a lot of shots. So I've taken the shots because I know the shots work and you have to do it, et cetera. I've never had a flu shot, but I've always had high levels of vitamin D. And somehow, with a high level of serum blood level of vitamin D, your chances of getting either COVID or the influenza virus are extremely low, as you had indicated previously. Now, there's something else that goes on here that underlines the whole situation. There's a guy named Furstenberg wrote a book called The Invisible Rainbow, meaning all the colors and all the things you don't see. And it's about electricity. In 1889, every house in London got an electricity. Wires were sent up. Every house was able to get a phone or a light bulb or whatever was going to be plugged in. In 1889, the influenza virus was a common cold, like the other cold viruses, until that electricity, and then it became a partial killer. And then you start having these viruses circulating every couple years because of the electricity. In World War I, you started having radios and telegraph wires, and they were all over the place, and you got the Spanish flu. This is this guy's contention. I mean, it's just an interesting theory. You don't know if it's true, but just follow the logic. In 1955, we had the swine flu, but that's only in the places where they put up radar, because we had the Cold War, we had radar in different countries, and like, for instance, we had radar on the coast of America, so the center of America didn't get the swine flu, which is really interesting.
Yes.
1968, we had the Hong Kong flu. We put up triple the number of satellites that year. And lastly, we got this pandemic just when 5G came out. Interesting, isn't
it? Wow. Oh, extremely interesting. We've had other doctors talk about 5G and the interaction with the body and how it can it's bioactive. I didn't know going back all the way to 1889 in London. I'm completely fascinated.
It also talked about the increase in heart disease correlating with these, that you can look at heart disease and look at when it inflected up on a graph or diabetes. But the interesting thing, circling back to our friend vitamin D3, which is basically cholesterol that gets sunlight, cholesterol in your skin. And if you don't get the sunlight because you have sunblock or you don't wear it or you're heavily pigmented, you have a low D level and you don't have a strong immune system. But it seems that an article just came out about cell surfaces being supported by vitamin D may prevent the virus when it comes in contact from entering your cell and infecting it. So it's really fascinating stuff. And I'm trying to think. There's one other issue about all of this. Yes, in the Spanish flu pandemic, you know, people are always like to do research to figure out what's happening and why it happened. They gave nasal secretions from people who had an active flu into the nose of people who were volunteers. They gave coughed up secretions for people to inhale, volunteers to inhale. Not a single case of influenza occurred by that transmission, which gives you thought to the electricity concept of breaking down your own barrier. Is that amazing?
See, I've had other people talk about this idea of viruses don't transfer between people.
Isn't that interesting?
It's more than interesting. You have me fast. I don't even want to talk about I complex now. I want to talk about what you just said. Say that back up and say that again. In Spanish,
they transferred nasal secretions or sputum from infected people in 1918.
To test. They're just trying to test.
Into people who volunteers. I don't know what they're volunteering for.
Yeah,
they
God almighty.
They got a lot of money for that one. But anyway, none of them got sick. Now, I don't know how many people it was, but it doesn't matter. If it was two or three or four, it still tells you, whoa. But that doesn't stop you from being cautious, you know?
And this was in Kansas City, you say?
Oh, yeah, I think it was Kansas City is where they did the experiment. By the way, the pandemic started at one of the forts, the military forts
in
Kansas, when people were coming back from World War One.
Well, I've also read about the bad vaccines that they gave some of the soldiers there. I've also read that, or speculation, I should say, about that. That's very interesting that this all happened in Kansas City, around that area.
You know, you think of it all happening, because, I mean, most of the flus start in Southeast Asia, because that's where you have water, where there's fish farms and pigs, and the mosquitoes bite a pig, carrying, let's say, American flu, and then another mosquito comes and bites the same pig again, but the pig has changed the genetics of the flu. So that's why every 2 years you get another cycle of influenza.
Or they make it in a lab and then discard it in the dumpster in a non-hygienic way. but who's talking? But who's counting? Who's paying attention?
One conspiracy or another, you know. Whatever fits your sense of humor and your sense of fear.
Well, the 5G in Wuhan there, I mean, we can go, I don't want to go too deep into this, but you really raised some interesting thoughts and kind of putting all this together. fascinating information. So let's move on to the eyes. I don't even know how to transition from that. Let's just move on to the eyes. Eye Complex CS is one of our longest standing and most loved products that we sell. And why don't you tell the audience, especially for new listeners, it's been a while since you've been on, what in the world is Eye Complex CS?
It's 23 ingredients, all of which individually has shown some effect in supporting ocular health. And one of the interesting things is when people get macular degeneration or glaucoma or dry eye, they get tired of the usual rhetoric, nothing can be done, or what they're using doesn't do much. And they say, is there anything nutritional that's in my bailiwick that I don't have to depend on a doctor or a colleague? And the moral of the story is the same things that prevent will help prevent further damage in many cases. So there's about 52 eye products out there. They throw together things that you've heard about in different amounts. So if you take something like a one a day, you have a lot of ingredients but very little bits of any of them. So, I mean, it hardly does much. Better to eat an orange and a banana type of thing. But people don't get the oranges, the bananas, and the grapes, and the meat with the taurine and the things like that. So you put it into a vitamin, and it's three a day for maximum. And what happens is you get double the level of lutein that's in almost all of these other vitamins. It reflects the bad light off of your retina. Your retina is the back of the eye. The center of the retina is called the macula. And light, if you're looking at anything right now, light photons are hitting your retina every microsecond. So your retina is constantly being deluged with electrical stimulation that goes towards vision back in the brain. So all of the nutrition for the eye is in the liver. And so in order to refurnish the eye, you want to have the right supplements. And just as an aside, it seems that your liver is so busy working for your gut and your muscles all day long that only when you're relaxed at night, either asleep or lying down, that you refurbish the nutrition in your eyes. Furthermore, one of the ways people can say, are my eyes healthy? It's not whether you can see a chart or not. It's whether you can recover from car headlights quickly. That is one of the clues of the nutritional level and is whether it's adequate in your eye or not. I mean, I always search for little benchmarks that people can figure out themselves, because they have the symptoms. They just don't know what it relates to or what can be done to improve it. So I've taken nutrition courses, which makes me a little different than many ophthalmologists and doctors, and realized that the eye is a biochemical workshop. And I have formulated three other formulas for other companies. And this is the latest one that I've done, and feel that it is extremely helpful. And basically, it supports the macula, which is the highest metabolism in the eye, but it's also good for the lens, good for the dry eyes, and I'm sure some of the ingredients are even good for the optic nerve, which is the key in glaucoma.
What causes macular degeneration?
Burnout because of radiation coming through the eye without sunglasses for years and years, and not getting a cataract. A cataract can be a good thing because it blocks the bad radiation from ever hitting your retina. It allows the good wavelengths through over 400 nanometers and blocks the bad ones. Now, there are other things like smoking, like low pigment body level, like people in Northern European background and who are pale, many drugs. For instance, if people are diabetic, they get an eye exam once a year. Or if they're on Plaquenil, they get their retina looked at. Well, as a matter of fact, every drug circulates throughout the body, whether it's destined for the eye or not, usually not. And for instance, lots of people have light sensitivity and glare and want, you know, a tint waiver. And part of it is they're on a Benadryl or a blood pressure medicine or an antibiotic. And all of those things give you light sensitivity because they go through the retina. So the key is, you know, you limit your medication. You support what you can. You wear sunglasses and shades, etc. And that many people with macular degeneration don't have to progress. You don't have to say, oh, well, there's nothing I can do. And then there's always the positive placebo effect. One of the early studies in 1992 of one of the ways to reverse bleeding in the retina, they had a placebo group. And the placebo group who did not get the laser or the injection of stuff, 32% got better. Now, people got the real stuff, 56% people improved. But 32% with sham treatment for macular degeneration improved over the 18-month study.
That seems very high.
I'm just going to tell you, your mind
is, that unusual?
Is powerful.
Is that unusual for these placebo studies? I mean, that seems exceptionally high for these kind of things.
30% is the average.
Oh, okay.
Right. I mean, for instance, I'll give you an example. A guy wrote the relaxation response in 1988, and the people who got the fake blood pressure pill, 30% of the fakes did as well as the people who got the real medication.
Oh, my gosh.
There's a placebo for IBS, inflammatory bowel.
Yeah.
30% of people will get better. Now, all you have to do with the doctor.
Wow.
Just don't give them the grim facts. Tell them that they can participate, that they're part, you know, of the whole thing. And there are people who have gotten better from cancer that cannot be explained. So the moral of the story is, they say the difference between a pessimist and an optimist is a pessimist is a little better informed. But the optimist is positive and lives longer and is more likely to try and find a way to correct the situation. Daniel, remained as positive optimists.
Oh, you remind me of the story. We had another doctor on that was doing research about cancer, and they went into people's houses and, you know, started to interview what is the kind of the commonality of disease. What are the root causes of disease? And this one particular patient that they were looking at had the worst diet, didn't sleep good, just the worst habits, blah, 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 but was relatively healthy. And they were very puzzled by all this, and his family had cancer and all that, blah, blah, blah. Why does this person have cancer? It came out by their observation. They went into every aspect of this guy's life. His air in his house wasn't good. The water wasn't the great. It was okay. He watched TV at night and would watch sitcoms and was laughing like for an hour every night he would laugh. And literally, they came to the conclusion, the only thing they could think of was, this guy laughing for an hour and being happy and positive basically overcame all these other things. It's kind of fascinating.
Now, physiologically, you're breathing in and out, pumping your lungs, pumping your lymphatics, improving your circulation by laughing. So, and it's also the positive attitude. That's what I said. You either cope or you mope, and you have a choice. And, of course, these times are made difficult by the choice. That's why when you're ready to talk about the book, we will do so.
Oh, yes. I didn't even mention your book in the beginning here. Let me get the name of it. It is what's the name of your book? I know I have it here somewhere.
Is Death Really a Mystery?
Is Death Really a Mystery? That's a new book. On the other side, we got about 2 minutes before the break. On the other side, we're going to spend quite a bit of time.
I'll give you a quick 2 minutes. I was off. 13 of our 16 doctors were off for COVID between March and May. And I'm hearing all the stories about death. I look at the newspaper. You read about death from opioids, suicides, car accidents, shootings, knifings. And then with COVID, the first number is the death. And I'm so annoyed. I've collected 950 stories from people about what their experience was with someone dying and whether they saw the person they were visited or whether they traveled. So I took 140 of the best stories and I put them into a sequence of what people saw in their dreams of their loved one while asleep, while awake, either seeing, hearing, feeling, or smelling their loved one, leaving the body and levitating in the same area or near-death experience and going out of body. And someone can tell you 20 years later, verbatim, what they saw tells you that something that lives beyond your body, i.e. soul or consciousness, whatever you want to call it. And so I also did celebrity stories, 11 celebrities people would know and could even hear on YouTube if they wish, and then some of my own stories. And I started with a good deja vu story of my own, but I'll tell you that later.
I am completely intrigued. This has been, had no idea where this interview was going to go this morning when I got ready for the broadcast. This has been incredibly interesting. I'm totally fascinated. I'm still stuck on the placebo thing that 30% of them get better anyway, whether they're taking it.
The opposite is the nocebo. When the doctor tells you, you got a 20% chance of living. And you start buying that.
Oh, that's
so
powerful.
And you either have 100% chance or one or no percent. You don't have 20%. You either live or you don't live.
You heard about the guy who went to the doctor. The doctor gave him 6 months to live, but he couldn't pay his bill, so the doctor gave him another 6 months.
I got you.
You heard about that guy, right?
That's that guy went to the doctor, and he asked for a second opinion. The doctor said, "You're ugly."
Oh my God, that's a Henny Youngman joke. The one I don't know the one.
We could do that all day too, but you know, we can make them laugh.
Well, laughter's the best medicine. We got about 10 seconds before the break. It's super interesting. The iComplex CS is at the Power Mall, thepowermall.com. It is in. Ladies and gentlemen, you're getting up in age. You're going to need these kind of things, especially the type of lights we listen to look at all the time, the computer screens.
Oh, my God, we'll talk about that.
Yes, you need support, and we're going to get a new book, Is Death Really a Mystery? The one and only Dr. Robert Abel right here on the Power Hour. Feel good broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you dare go anywhere.
Where to start? There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita silver lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Break the bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer.
This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
If you eat your man of food on a semi-regular basis, you're probably getting better quality food and healthier for your body than you're eating now.
Your products are GMO-free. There's no added MSG and no chemical preservatives or high fructose corn syrup. And you also have gluten-free products as well.
We have a great variety of very high-quality products.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
ThePowerMall.com is where you get all the great things. Tranquil and REM sleep. We got buy one, get one free. The quercetin, Sherry Tenpenny mentioned, very important, the zinc, the vitamin D, the vitamin C, the Purely C, the oregano, all these things, extremely important, ladies and gentlemen, right now for you to be prepared, for you to be healthy, for you to be on top of things. Your health is very, very important, and it is your responsibility if you haven't noticed. We want you happy, healthy, successful, and free as God intends you to be. ThePowerMall.com, ThePowerMall.com, 877-817-9829. Thank you for your support. Bye from the good guys, will you? Getting back to Dr. Abel, we'll get into his book, Is Death Really a Mystery? The eye complex, who should take this and what can they expect and what's a barometer as they
Here's what I would do. You know, people take a vitamin, they don't know what it does. I would mark on their calendar when they start. Some of the components are fat soluble, so it's probably best with a meal. Just like if you're taking vitamin D, which is not in that complex, because you wouldn't get enough. By the way, people who take D, since you mentioned it, should take 5,000 IU. It's a tiny little pill. I tell them with peanut butter. It's fat soluble. They may forget to take it with a meal because they're running out of the house in the morning, or they didn't remember, they do it at bedtime, you're not going to absorb it. So the moral of the story is take it with peanut butter or some fat. The complex is meant to show you that your eyes are healthier. And it's very hard for you to know it, except you will walk into a dark room and adapt much faster as you're groping for the light switch. Or it's dark outside, or even if you're driving and you want to look to the side, off away from the headlights, you will accommodate much faster, like in 3 or 4 seconds. You'll recover from car headlights more quickly. Not yours, of course, the ones coming at you. But that is the ways that people can tell what's going on. And
so who should consider this?
You, me, and you, me, and probably little kids, but we don't have it approved for kids yet.
So somebody, especially as they age, their eyes are getting bombarded no matter what.
And, everybody's eyes are.
Right,
I mean,
they're getting bombarded.
TV, you watch all these electronic devices, and the low blue waves are just higher than the ultraviolet, and they affect your mind and affect your sleep. So you need something that's a blue blocker. Well, they're blue blocking lenses. They're a little expensive in your glasses, or $20 from Amazon. But the high level of lutein that's in Eye Complex CS will help block that blue light and give you a better night's sleep.
And then how long? So typically somebody think, well, I'm getting older, my eyes don't...
A week.
Really? That quickly?
Yeah. Yes.
They can start see.
I look at these things. I use myself, and I use other people that I can believe, and realize that you get a blood level very quickly. You take something called riboflavin, 20 minutes, your urine is deeply yellow. I mean, this stuff goes through you, and your body takes what it needs and lets the rest go.
Wow.
And if you can't urinate at all, it means you had a lot of need. Bad doctor humor. What can I tell you?
What is, just quickly before we get into your book, what is kind of the trends in eyes? I mean, is the most important and biggest thing all these screen time, or what is the biggest trend in eye health?
Television. The television and the electronic devices. They buzz at you, and if you unfortunately have a job that you're at this computer all day and you're cocking your head and you're getting this blue light, and there are about 15 studies that show over time the blue light that's emitted from these devices can start affecting your retina. So if we say that potentially some macular damage, and you think of these little kids, they're growing up with this the rest of their life, they need a blue blocker or take a lot of lutein.
Or both.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Eye Complex is available over at the Power Mall, ladies and gentlemen. It's been one of the most trusted, widely used from our audience, and really it's one of those ones that really is affecting people and helping them be better. Simple test. Hey, when you look outside at night, how fast do you adjust? When you see headlights coming on, you kind of almost get blinded by them for a second. How long does that last? How long do your eyes snap back? You can tell by taking this, and that improves. When you see it improve, you can measure that, and that's a little trick that Doc has come up with, and you know that this is working. You know your eyes improving. As you get older, look, our generation sees more of these things, especially these LED screens. There weren't LED screens like this in the previous generations. So who knows what the long, long-term effects of this are, except we know they're not good. And you need to do something to take some proactive steps. Eye Complex is a fantastic way. Dr. Abel, he doesn't toot his own horn, but he is world-renowned and world-known for eye health. World-renowned. I mean, he's one of the best, and he's come up with quite a formula.
Better yet, Daniel, why don't you tell them about your dry eyes taking this stuff?
I take it, and I'll go back to the first thing I noticed was the headlights. That's the first thing I noticed, because always at night the headlights would hit me, and I'd be like, oh my gosh, it's like you get blinded almost. And I've noticed that's not near as bad, not near as bad. And then my eyes would get dry all the time, almost itchy. And I haven't felt that in quite a while. I mean, every once in a while, maybe, but not really at all anymore. And they used to bother me a lot. But again, full disclosure, I put a blue blocker on my computer screen. On my glasses, I do have the blue shield also. But, all these things put together have really made a difference. No question in my mind. Anyway, maybe it's a placebo. Maybe I'm the 30%, but I feel better.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I'm better, right?
It doesn't matter. You got better.
That's such a great answer, isn't it? Highly recommend. Great product that many people have seen dramatic results, and that's what we sell over the Power Mall. We got about 15 or minutes, so. Left, I want to get into your book. I'm really, really jazzed about that. Is death really a mystery? Why did you write this book, and what is it about?
First of all, everybody always wonders about death. Everybody has different encounters. Everybody has different outcomes and experiences. Some people are deeply religious and are trained to know that there's an afterlife. But most people are essentially experiential. They know what they know, and they don't know what they don't know. And death is the great unknown. What happens? Where does it go? Does something like a soul come into a baby when it's born? Does something like a soul leave when it dies? I took 140 people's reports. Essentially, I did not give commentary. I just quoted where they talked about Jesus, Moses, spirit, lights, tunnels, God, seeing their loved one and being told to go back. I just reported what they told me. I gave them a fake name for anonymity because maybe they're not happy with this. I gave 11 celebrities, you know, Elizabeth Taylor, Ernest Hemingway, Peter Sellers, Cheyenne, Clint Walker, and what they saw, and came back to the fact that my guys will never publish theirs, but how it changed their lives. I shared some of my own stories. I start with seeing deja vu at age 9 and knew I saw my life go by as I jumped a gap in the mountains, a chasm. And as these things came true in my life, I said, ah, I saw that. At age 5, I had a horrendous dream every night that I would be jumping from a railroad trestle because the train was coming. I finally got so indignant about it, as 5 year older, I said, I'm just going to jump, because just before I hit the rocks every night, I wake up. So I'm just going to jump. As soon as I jumped, that was the end of that dream. Never came back again. Some of my storytellers were able to interact, but what they saw was amazing. For instance, one lady always gets up at 7 in the morning. She gets up at 3 and can't go back to sleep. She goes downstairs, and lo and behold, at 3 in the morning, her deceased husband is sitting at the head of the dining room table. She says, what are you doing there? He says, I'm here just to tell you I love you, and I'll watch out over you, and disappears. Well, she doesn't know what to do with that. So she's puttering around the kitchen at 6:30. Her son calls from Baltimore. She's from Wilmington. And says, Mom, you won't believe who I saw at 3 o'clock in the morning. I have a couple stories where the dreamer has seen the deceased relative. And they're shocked to see the deceased relative. And the deceased relative says, if you ever need anything, call me. And the dreamer said, I can't, you're dead. The deceased person says, you can still call me. There are numerous stories where people who didn't have that recommendation from the person beyond would call and get a response. I have stories where one of my employees smells her mother's perfume, a very rare perfume, whenever she's in crisis. And somehow it gets rid of the crisis part so that she can go along with the decision-making without the fear of what to do, etc. There are people who are awake and feel the deceased person get in bed next to them for 30 seconds. Someone else sees in a dream, wakes up, sees the husband at the foot of the bed, runs around to hug him and falls flat in her face. 92-year-old lady is taking off her stockings. The deceased husband walks in the door, gives her a peck on the cheek, and says, see you soon. 6 months later, she's in the obituary. I can go on and on with stories that are incredible. Stories in which the deceased person in near-death experiences are given a choice whether to stay or go back. And the people who go back and told me their story, it has fundamentally changed their lives. So either someone travels to you, or in levitation, out of body, near death, you travel to them. And the fact that these are extraordinary stories by very ordinary people, some of whom don't tell anyone. 47-year-old lady lost her son to a drowning accident. One night she's getting in under the covers. Her husband's already there snoring. Her son, she sees him walk out of the water, come up to the bedside and says, "Mom, I'm okay," and disappears. She never even tells the husband because she doesn't know whether she imagined this or what. And these things are so subtle. And your brain is a survival organism for the five senses. It only knows what it knows. And anything else it can't figure out. It's not hardwired for this. That's why it has to be something really different, spooky, a dream where it catches you off guard and something gets into you that you wouldn't have explained. So I go through at the end the common threads. Some are very simple and very interesting. And, I mean, I have 950 of these stories, but you can't tell them all because it gets monotonous. But if you think of the common threads, and then you let everybody come to their own decision, is death really a mystery? Or is life really the mystery? Is this the temporary thing? Is this one of many? Who knows? You know, I mean, I have no more experience than the person who reads this book, except for some of the experiences I will tell you about my own parents. Going with my mother, watching her go down the street, and I join her. She gets her hair done. We go to some old place, and I see a lady come out of the wall, and she takes the lady, and off they go. Turns out the lady is someone I know who died at 2 in the morning that morning. My father didn't believe in God or heaven. Didn't matter to him. It didn't upset him. Didn't think about it. And 1 month after my mother died, he called me ecstatically. He said, "I danced with her last night in my dream. I smelled her perfume. I hugged her. I felt her hair. And I said, 'Ruth, you're wearing purple. You don't like purple.' She said, 'It doesn't matter here,' and disappears." I can go on and on and on, but that's what these stories are all about.
You said common threads.
Together, it's a little bit like a jigsaw puzzle.
Yes, you said common threads. Like, as you look at all these stories, yes, what are the common threads you see?
Virtually everyone is upset about this. Upset about where they're going to go. Maybe it isn't. Upset of, well, someone else went. He was only 13. He was deprived of life. Well, is this the only life? Are higher level people choosing more difficult lives? And if people have had deja vu that they're in a situation that could not have been constructed previously with the same number of people or a place that you've never been, but you feel you knew it was there, it's these clues. I start also with a poem, a piece of a poem by William Wordsworth called Intimations of Immortality. How little kids still see this stuff. They have invisible play friends. They tell you they saw someone go on. So I have a few of those stories in there, too. And
this sounds,
we lose it. We educate people out of this.
This sounds similar to, or at least the concept of it seems similar to the, what's that book by Journey of Souls? Isn't that the book, Journey
of Souls? Well, there's a lot of things. There's Moody's book, Life After Life. There's Eben Alexander. I mention all these things. And I give people recommended reading. But these are notorious people who may have had only one patient or may have had several patients. One is a cardiologist. And apparently you couldn't resuscitate people, you know, with electrical stimulation until 1967. And his first patient came back and told him about the great beyond. So he was very curious. So he checked out the next 50, and 12 of the next 50 had the exact same story. And who told them to go back and why, or whether there was a tunnel or a light, etc. And you start putting this together, and you get people who are interested in discovery. So the doctors who have had these experiences have started writing about it. But one of the things different here is these are just ordinary people that come into your life and wouldn't have told you if you didn't ask. And the value of their sharing will help reduce the grieving, if not the whole concept, but at least the grieving and the mourning. and perhaps even the recognition of what's the real process here, et cetera.
What percentage of...
If you guys like it, we'll get it to the Power Mall.
Yes, I want a copy, for sure. I definitely want a copy. And then, I don't know, where can people get it? I had the question. What was the question I was about to ask?
Well, let me do this. It'll probably be after the first of the year. You will get a copy so you can look at it yourself. And, you know, I'm not pushing one religion or another. I'm pushing... people who have edited this told me they felt more spiritual after reading this.
What percentage of people...
And we certainly need this stuff, right?
What percentage of people do you think just walking around have had something, some similar episode in their life?
1 out of 3.
Wow.
Now, it depends on what you're calling it. Deja vu is very common. I had a guy yesterday who was seeing things flittering around his eyes at certain times. And I said, did someone in your family die recently? He said, my brother. And I said, did you complete with him? He said, no. And I feel bad about it. Well, I said, well, maybe sometimes these little things that happen. I also have a section on animals and birds and symbols that symbolize the parent. Like a lady had a fly every night sit on her television and look at her. And she used to swat the flies, and her husband would reprimand her. Didn't want to hurt an animal. And figured, this is him coming back to say he's here. And just letting her know.
Listen, I hope nobody I know comes back as a fly, because at my house, they're not going to... This is not the place to make an appearance as a fly.
That's right. They'll never come back.
Yeah, they won't make
anyway.
It.
Others have seen cardinals. Hummingbird lands on her finger. A hummingbird? The mother cultivated hummingbirds.
Hmm.
Another one had her rose bush bloom every January in the winter.
Wow.
On the mother's birthday.
Wow.
These are just ordinary people who wouldn't come around telling you these stories
How did you find
like a
them?
Prophet.
How did you find these people?
Intuition and something about grief. And the fact is, even though I'm a physician and should be there to help people in their emotional status, I see that there's something going on where they tell me they lost someone, and I ask, have you seen them? And sometimes they'll say, what do you mean? And I just sort of give a story and says, well, I didn't know what to think about it. And then they tell me the story. And
wow.
Other people had no idea, and it mitigates, reduces some of their grief that there's a possibility. And
wow.
This like when it happened to Carl Jung, and he started getting into this, he realized there's something there. He was interviewed, Jung was a famous psychoanalyst. He was the confidant of Freud. He did 30,000 psychoanalyses. He was inside the criminal mind. He was asked by the BBC, do you think there's a God? And he said no, and then he chuckled. And he said, that's because I know there is. And when Einstein and Carl Jung tell you there's a God, that's another source beside, your local community pastor. This is someone who has interviewed life. When you realize that quantum physicists say energy never disappears, and all of this is vibrational energy. Interesting stuff.
This goes into the debate or whatever. That somebody sent a meme. I read this on the radio a few days ago. Somebody sent a meme to my wife, and it was, nobody looks at a painting and wonders if there's a painter or not. And I thought it was really profound, this whole debate about evolution and what have you and research and what you said about energy. The energy cannot be created or destroyed. I mean, we're told the conservation of energy. Energy cannot be created or destroyed. But yet we somehow feel that there's not trails of glory going in every person, and just an unbelievable divinity or a trace of divinity within us or something great.
I have a story about that.
Sure, please.
One of the stories is
got
like
two
that.
Minutes. 2 minutes. 2 minutes. Go ahead.
Anyway, but I'm not going to tell you that story, but I will tell you that, for instance, I told my granddaughters, they wonder what to get the family for Christmas. I said, make a contribution to the Needy Fund, the Food Bank of Delaware. The next day, at our holiday Zoom party, my two partners made a contribution in the name of me because I mentioned the food bank to someone else. My wife gets me a cinnamon bun. I look on the email that there are going to be cinnamon buns for everybody in the office that day. I mean, that there are things that happen that are more than just coincidence. People you talk to, people you like, are more than just a coincidence. There's other people you always evaluate, and you're so judgmental, and you're remote. But then there's things that attract you, and you don't know why. And then you get something else that reinforces it. So, anyway, I was upset about the concept of death. I have my own personal views. I've had many experiences, which I share in my chapter. And I think that sharing, whatever it is in life, we're meant to be with the other. And sharing with this existential question of death is so important to people. People who are ailing, people who are lonely, thinking this is the end. My English teacher in high school was only 10 years older than we were. So I asked her to look at my book for grammar. The next morning she calls me and says, I read the first 28 pages. I loved it. I'm glad my life is not oblivion. And you're wise having me correct your grammar and syntax. Nobody's perfect.
There's the music, one of Joyce's favorite songs. She used to like to end every week. I could see her rocking her head back and forth. Dr. Abel, a pleasure as always. It's been way too long. I'm really glad. The Eye Complex is back at the Power Mall. Your book will, I guess, in the next month or so, we'll be able to check that out. And I am very much looking forward to it. Please send me an autographed copy. I want an autographed copy from you. That would mean something.
You got it. Catherine will give me your address. And
yes.
Also, we have made sure, because of the volume of iComplex CS and the demand, that the manufacturer is making more.
Good.
And
very
so
good.
The run out is not going to happen.
All right, we got to go. Happy, healthy, successful, okay. Free. God bless you, ladies and gentlemen. It's all about the truth. We'll see you next week. Crypto.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.